Well, we're going to look at these verses right here. I've got 40 of these sheets. I'm not sure how many we got. Verses. It's going to be self-explanatory, but also verses that I think we need to look at and be reminded of some things. So let's start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll look at verses 10 through 16. There's only three verses I want to share with you. So verses 10 through 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of the man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is right to judge for no one. And then verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. So I want you to look at 10, 12, and 13. Verse 10, verse 12, and verse 13. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit gives us God's thoughts, his teachings. If you have a problem with the word itself, the Holy Spirit will guide you through that. He'll give you what he wants you to have. You may or may not understand right away, so you continue going back to the Holy Spirit until he teaches you what you need to know. And then verse 12, now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So, how would you explain that verse right there? What is the world, the spirit of the world? It's the flesh. But I'm lost, so I'm not quite sure what you're talking about. What is the flesh?
And I read in Romans chapter 10, it said, the word is not even in thy mouth.
But we also need to understand who we're talking to when we're sharing. They don't know the things that we know. All Christians don't know everything that the other Christian knows. So realize this, verse 12, you've been freely given wisdom by God. What a privilege it is to know that God loves us enough to feed us His Word. 13, verse 13. These things we also speak not in words in which man's wisdom teaches, but the way the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Only the Holy Spirit knows this and teaches to us. Lost people, you know, they'll debate you all day long with things, but they have no idea what they're talking about. But God has given us His Spirit. So He teaches us, He enlightens us, He gives us understanding. He teaches us the mind of Jesus. I can remember being away from church for years, and when I read that I had the mind of Christ, I was shocked, because I sure didn't act like it back then. Longer you study and meditate and pray and walk with God, the more your mind expands in Christ. Why is that? Why does it expand? The more you can handle, the more He'll give you. But what happens when He gives you that? Pay attention and do something with it. Apply it. He doesn't ever expect to give us a certain amount of wisdom and then us put it in our back pocket and never use it. But we are guilty of doing that sometimes. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Again, these are just verses that I think we just need to review in our lives. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? You are. Which temple you are? So, verse 16. There's several thoughts in verse 16, but the thought I want you to see tonight is that God dwells in you. He abides in you. How often? Yeah. Always. Once you're saved, He's abiding in you. So as we think about that, if He abides in this temple, the Holy Spirit becomes a guarantee for what? For us. For what is He guaranteeing? Be with us. But what about eternity? We have a guarantee that we have a place prepared in heaven for us. So if He abides in us, can you lose Him? No. But there's a lot of Christians that think they can lose their salvation. Yeah. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And exactly. Nobody can snatch us out of His hands, and that nobody includes Himself. God can't snatch us out of His own hands. we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. So when you look in the mirror, are you seeing an image of Jesus Christ? Are you living such a life that you're reflecting the Lord Jesus? We're going to have a really good opportunity next week to look like the Lord. One way or another, somebody's man's not going to win next week. And that's when we really need to have a Christ-like face, a Christ-like heart. If your man doesn't win and theirs does, I don't know how you can act like the Lord. I don't know how I can act like the Lord, but I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for the man that wins. I'm going to pray for the country. However, I need to pray for the country. I'm going to pray for the senator, the congressman, the leaders of our cities, whether I agree with them or not. You know, there's a lot of things that can take place in the next 4 years. If we don't pray for those and act right, I think that God's going to let us in our way. He's not going to hear our prayers, so let's get right with the Lord and do the right thing. Look at Romans 8. Okay, I wrote it down. 8, 1 and 2, 5, 9, and 11. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. What did Paul just tell us? We've been judged already, haven't we, for our sins, we get saved. So we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to have that guilt feeling. We do have to ask forgiveness of that sinfulness. The Bible says we continually get tempted, but we need to repent when we fall into that temptation. But the guilt, where does that come from? According to this verse, we're not condemned. So who's going to give us the guilt feelings that we get? Satan, you know, it's a direct attack on us. Satan knows the Bible just like we do, and he's going to twist it in such a way that he's going to fool us. And when you're weak, when you're spiritually weak, guess what? That's when he attacks. He's going to get you one way or another, but not those that dwell with the Lord and walk with the Lord. Verse 5, Romans 8 and 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Two different kinds of people here. Those that are lost, those that are saved, those that are dwelling and looking at the flesh and stuff in the world, the drinking, the partying, the cussing, the sinfulness, the being a poor spouse, not taking care of your family, not working like you want to work. Those are things of the world. Wanting your own way. I come to church so this church can serve me. Is that the right attitude? No, but that's a lot of Christians do that. What are you going to do for me?
How many times have I heard that? Never done anything for you.
Exactly.
Not looking. What can I do for the Lord?
What can we do for the Lord? So when we come to church, the truth of the matter is, it's not a very popular term nowadays, but we're slaves. We're slaves to the Lord. Well, keep on going. Look at verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not in him. That's pretty plain. You either have the Spirit or you don't. If you have the Spirit, you ought to be walking in the Lord. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not going to be walking in the Lord. You're not going to be walking as Christ walked. So that's we need to understand that. You're either either are or you're not saved.
Amen.
I like to, when I'm preaching, know it when they close the door of the ark. You're either in that ark or you're out. And if you're in the ark, what happened to Noah and his family? They got saved, didn't they? But when you were on the outside, you were not in the ark, you were out. What happened to those people? They died. We're either in the Lord or we're not. There's no debate in that. You're either saved or you're not. When I talked to that young man about if he was in a wreck and he died, where would he end up? He thought he was saved, but he wasn't. Any given Sunday, I preach with that on my mind. I know there's somebody sitting here that doesn't have Jesus in their heart. And there may be somebody that thought they were saved 35 years ago, but they weren't. Either are or you're not. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. That verse is a yay-hoo verse. God raised Jesus up, he's going to raise us up.
Amen.
If you don't have God in your heart, Christ in your heart, you're going to get raised up, but you're not going to get raised up and spend eternity in heaven. You're going to spend eternity in hell. So that's a great verse to review in your heart. He also gives us freedom from all sin. Guilty of falling to, but we have freedom to say no. Say no, I'm not going to do that. Well, let's look at James 3, 17 and 18. I didn't write it on here, but this is if then you'll know what I'm talking about in a second. James 3, 17 and 18. Wisdom that is from above, first, pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know why I chose those two verses? Either are peaceable or you're not. Either producing good fruits or you're not. If then. So I'm praying for next week, especially after these elections, that we'll apply these two verses to our lives. Be peacemakers. Pure heart, pure thoughts. You either have them or you don't. Full of mercy. Don't be hypocritical.
You're true to mind.
We are continually pruning, but if we don't, guess who's going to prune us? Satan, I mean, our God will. All right, one other, and then we'll go home. Proverbs 22, verse 6, either you do or you don't. Either prune or you don't by your lifestyle. 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Why would I say if then? If, and this is scripture, this is my opinion, if you train up a child in the Lord, sometimes they do get away, don't they? Probably all of us have gotten away from one time or another, but if you've been trained in the way of the Lord, God's going to bring them back one way or another. Now, he may not do it in your lifetime, but they're going to come back to the Lord. So if then, if you don't train them up in the Lord, that's what's happening now. Outside in the world. These people that are rioting and doing all that, they've not been trained in the way of the Lord. That's not the Lord's ways. They've not been loved and I won't say spanked. I know you're not supposed to say that anymore, but you know, they need to be corrected with a loving hand, with a loving heart. And train them. That's what we try to do in Sunday school. We train our children. That's what's so special about our nursery workers. They train your newborns. They pray for them. They rock them and love them. And they give them things, and sometimes they don't get it home. And then they go up to the toddlers, and Teresa takes care of them. And if your children come home, something wrong with them, blame her. But I've watched her. She loves her children. You bring them in, you can trust her with them. She teaches them. Going up, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5 years old. We got the best workers back there. And we've had some autistic type children. God has brought us workers here that know how to handle those kinds of children. And it just works when God's in control and the teachers are letting God control them. And they're teaching our children. They're bringing them up. And then we continue throughout youth, young adults. What do you call them? We're getting over that part.
Old folks.
Yeah, old folks.
You know, that's what we're seeing here. We just have this.
I remember that.
We went to several churches, and every time we went to another church after we come here, at the line, going back to that other one, I really liked it. We come here, and she come out to sing, and love you and praise you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.